The Witch's Apprentice, Part 3. Despite everything that had happened, Markov went to bed that night filled not with anxiety, but excitement. Cypher had always had a way of doing that to her, turning her apprehension into curiosity. Perhaps she had been a fool to hold that aspect of herself at arm's length. She encouraged and nurtured the lives and loves and passions of her clients, but she had carefully buried her own. Miss Sarah Cynthia would have scolded her. The incubus charm meant that she slept well and deep, with sweetly erotic dreams, and she woke in a light mood with the sun. Gavi was nowhere to be seen, but that didn't surprise her. Normally, he would be up before her, cleaning and doing any preparatory work that needed doing, and then making her coffee and breakfast. But after last night, she guessed that he would be hiding, dreading seeing her face to face. She would have to move gently, she realized, as she brewed the coffee herself and took two cups to his door. Softly, she knocked. There was some shuffling from behind the door, then a pause. Normally, he would have responded sharply, but this time he took a moment to open the door, just the width of his face, which seemed a little paler than it should be. His eyes were red. "Yes, Monsieur." "I brought coffee," she suggested. "It's not as good as what you make me, but it's not poison." Her lips twitched at the poor joke, but her expression slipped as she noticed the blotchy color around his eyes. "Gavi, are you all right?" "Oh, thank you. You didn't have to, really. I'm sorry I didn't make any. Just running a little late today, I guess. Thank you." All this just about a coffee mug. He took it carefully from her hands and sniffed it. The sharp bitterness helped bring his thoughts together. Taking a sip, he swallowed with noticeable effort. The sugar was present, but not nearly enough. Not that Masera could have known how he took his coffee. I'll be fine. Just not sure what I'll be doing next, where I'll go. So that's a little scary, I guess." "Gavi," she said again, frowning. "You don't think I'm going to dismiss you, do you?" She had expected him to be embarrassed, even mortified, but it was becoming obvious that she had failed to consider the extent of his torment. "Oh, my boy, I'm sorry. You don't have to go anywhere, unless you'd prefer to leave me." She watched him carefully, her eyes soft. He met her eyes. He was certain he was finished, but he would at least save a slither of dignity. Despite the tears welling up in his eyes, even as he tried to blink them away, "I disobeyed you. I invaded your privacy. The least you could do is dismiss me. What can I even say? You were furious." Her eyes creased at the signs of his distress. "Let me in," she said, breezing by him into his room before turning on the spot, facing him. Carefully, she took the mug from his hands and put it on the mantel with her own. Then she took him by the shoulders and drew him into a tight, warm embrace. "Listen to me, boy," she said, her voice close to his ear. "You did nothing wrong. It's all right. I'm not angry. Quite the opposite. I neglected you. Neglected your education and postponed your initiation into my world." She stroked his hair, encouraging him to bury his face in her shoulder. "It's all right," she repeated. "You're not in trouble. You have done nothing that I wouldn't have done. Nothing I haven't done." She parted from him, still holding him by the shoulders. "Will you forgive me? For avoiding you? For failing to be there for you?" "I don't understand," he said, his voice strained to breaking. She saw his chest rise in the sudden huff of breath that told her that he was very close to tears. She only smiled kindly. "Have you considered that if I had wanted privacy, I might have gone to more effort not to attract your attention?" she chuckled. Now, I don't think I was consciously performing for you, but I'm not such a fool that I did not realize that you would hear me. These things are delicate. You deserve better than I gave you. If I forgive you, will you let me stay? Her face fell. There is no question of that, Gavi. I want you to stay, whether or not you forgive me. Looking around, she found that the desk and chair were stacked with books, and she could not easily lean against it without knocking something over. So she sank down onto the bed, crossing her legs. Please sit with me. It's time I taught you how this is supposed to work. He wiped his eyes one last time, snuffed, and finally looked at her with the shadow of an actual smile, taking a seat on the bed next to her. I'm listening, Sarah. She shuffled closer, letting her calf and foot brush against his knee, a neutral, almost accidental touch, but she wanted to feel him close, close the gap between them, show him by example that he was not her servant, but her apprentice. Her casual touch made his smile a little more natural. Even just being so near to her made him feel a little safer. You've been acting as a glorified assistant so far, she confessed. That was my fault. But it's not what you are. Witchcraft is... She struggled for words. It's about heat. Rhythm. A fundamental, primal power that exists in every living thing. In most people, it expresses itself in desire, triumph, dance, and music. In sex. She caught and held his gaze, a gentle, penetrative look. Witchcraft is the art of healing, love, pleasure, and passion. The way in which we cultivate and nurture that power in us is through exploring and understanding that part of us, and then exercising it. Regression, shame, denial, these things will stunt whatever magical energy is already in you. Anxiety and fear will kill it entirely. So, in order for you to be my apprentice and flourish as a witch in your own right, we're going to have to challenge any pre-learned behavior or ideas that you might have gathered or inherited. He looked away to consider her words. I always sensed there was something missing in the books you had me read. I realize now that it's this. They talk about what you're describing, but in a roundabout, veiled way, in riddles and metaphors. She laughed. Those authors are aware that they and their readers sometimes come from places where our craft is treated with suspicion, even revulsion. They have to write in riddles to avoid prosecution. Templeton and the capital to the west are somewhat more progressive than where I came from, enough that people can come to me for help without having to sneak about. His eyes frowned hers again. What should I do? The first thing is to admit to me and to yourself that you enjoyed what Lorelei did to you and what you saw last night. She lowered her head, gazing up at him through her eyelashes. It felt good, didn't it? He also dipped his head, blushing, his lips twitching. I don't think you'd believe me if I said I didn't enjoy it. Lorelei was like something from a dream when she took me in her mouth. I had never felt such pleasure before. But you, being there, holding me, it felt right. The kiss we shared, it was like my heart was filled with sweetness and honey. And when you disrobed in front of the incubus, I never thought I would see that outside of a fantasy. She couldn't help smiling. Such a poet, she murmured with fondness. Considering what he said, she subtly ran her toes up and down his shin. That won't be the last time, boy, she told him. You understand that in teaching you, I intend to guide you in this also. It is a common, though not universal, practice. That pleasure you describe, that's what's going to feed your power, your confidence. And if we are in sync with a strong and tested bond, the magic we could work would be spectacular. His heart beat a little faster as he began to process what she was saying. Does that mean you'll teach me the ways of pleasure as part of my education? What do you mean, in sync? It gave her a sweet rush to hear the little pause in his breathing, but she didn't let any of that show on her face, only reaching out to run her fingers down the back of his neck, gently following the slope of his shoulder. I mean, when we are in rhythm, when I teach you what you can do with your body, and how to surrender to me utterly, without shame or doubt, this will be the source of your power. She opened her arms to him, offering a space for him to shuffle closer. Come, tell me. I assume that you touch yourself. From what Lorelei hinted at, it sounded as if you do it a lot. The directness of the question surprised him a little, but the inviting gesture kept him feeling calm and safe. She was talking about letting go of his shame and doubt, after all. He moved closer, leaning against her and answering, I generally don't get to do it during the day, as there's always some business to attend to, but in the evening, when the day is over and we say our goodnights, my mind wanders before sleep, and that's when I do it. She stroked his hair, her eyebrows raised. Well, that was painless, she remarked. When I was discovering that for myself, it took Cypher days and days to get me to admit it. I was so embarrassed. I thought there had to be something wrong with me. I had an incubus all to myself, and I still snuck away to play with myself. He teased me about it ruthlessly. After everything that's happened, it's a little easier to admit it. It's became a lot more common after I moved here and I had four walls to myself, though I never had a succubus to myself. Is that a thing? It can be, she told him. Incubi and succubi have been known to take interest in particular individuals, deciding to mentor them personally. As far as I understand it, the bond is forever. Cypher has never left me, and he found me when I was younger than you are now. After a pause, she leaned in to kiss his forehead. If I asked you, would you show me how you do it? He flushed darkly. You want to see me touch myself? Is this because I saw you with Cypher? Her fingers lingered on his neck, just below his ear. I want you to show me because I want to understand the rise and peak of your pleasure. I felt it before with Lorelei, but there was so much going on, and I was as overwhelmed as you are. He let out a soft, humming sound at her touch. I guess I could show you. It's strange. I'm sorry. I'm not sure why I'm hesitating. His heartbeat grew stronger, his breathing deeper. The prospect of pleasuring himself in front of his teacher was both alien and deeply exciting, and he was struggling to bring those two feelings together. How would you have me do it? Should I undress, or should I stay where I am, stand in front of you? Her hand trailed down his back, resting on his waist, only a suggestion of a touch. You think too much, boy, she whispered in his ear. This isn't a test. She kissed his cheekbone, her eyelashes fluttering against his brow. The other hand was slowly caressing the top of his thigh. Let me hold you. Otherwise, do as comes naturally. Or I could do it for you, if you prefer. Was it the whisper, the touch, or the offer that made him suck in a sharp breath? He leaned in closer, his head tilted to look at her. For you, Nisera. I'll touch myself for you. Keeping his gaze down, he removed his shirt and gasped again at the feeling of her fingers on his skin. He hesitated for a moment with his fingers at the hem of his trousers and at the straining bulge not far below that, but feeling the encouraging warmth of Misera right next to him, he smiled as he pushed them down, causing his erection to spring up. When he wrapped his hand around it, he returned his gaze to her, looking her in the eyes, and gradually stroking the shaft from base to just below the tip, his breathing coming out in soft moans. She watched, her eyes catching details that made her suddenly very hot. feeling his body resting against her, the micro shifts and flexes in his back and shoulders, as well as the way the muscles in his forearm tensed as he applied pressure, made her own breath come shallow. His quiet moans made his chest rise and fall heavily, and she leant in close to kiss his neck. "Good boy," she murmured just below his ear. "You'll make yourself feel good for me, won't you?"
I will, Mr. Earl. I want to obey," he said between breaths.
He kept his pace slow and steady, building sensation. She wrapped her arms around him, her hands on his waist, tracing the lines of his stomach and feeling the slight trembling there.
"You're a handsome boy. Do you know that? You feel good against me."
He flushed and broke eye contact when she said this.
This feels good for you.
"Yes," she whispered, squeezing his waist.
"Your moans are so sweet."
Her tongue came out to touch the edge of his jaw, tasting him. At the same time, she drew her nails up his bare chest. "And the way you tense against me makes me burn and shiver. It makes me imagine the time when you will lay on top of me." She chuckled softly, her breath deep and husky.
"Or perhaps beneath me.
Did you like watching me ride my incubus?"
Oh, fuck yes," he moaned, moving his hand to just below the ridge of his cock and moving it in steady thrusts from base to tip, arching his back against her,
his head turned to her chest, her hands on him, making him writhe and purr. She smiled into his hair, adoring how his formality broke down in the face of his pleasure. Pushing her hands down to his hips, splaying and flexing her fingers against the top of his thighs, she watched his hand carefully, her lips parted.
Last night, he groaned, "I was so consumed by the sight of your body, your voice, your breasts."
He stroked a little faster, letting out a low whine, as if the thought alone was enough to make him throb with pleasure.
"Oh?"
Grinning, she let go of him, reaching up to unlace the top of her dress. Moving away from him, she knelt up on his bed so that he could see as she slipped the top part from her shoulders. From this position, he could see that her face was flushed and, as she revealed more and more of her skin, that her nipples were pink and hard. She pushed the bodice of her dress down to her waist before crawling back towards him and putting her hands on his shoulders. Balanced so, she straddled his lap, making sure she gave him enough room to keep stroking himself. Then, her hand in his hair, she gently urged him to bow his head so that he could nuzzle against her, skin to skin. All this was done in slow, deliberate movements, her eyes never leaving his. His eyes widened as she revealed herself. He couldn't help moving his hand a little faster, gripping a little tighter. His voice trailed off in a helpless sigh as she brought his face to her bare breasts, his every breath carrying a low moan as he closed his eyes and nuzzled the soft flesh. He laid delicate kisses on the rise of her breasts before catching himself and raising his head to look at her.
Is this okay?
Her grin widened. "Is this okay?" he asks while I hold him to me. She ran her hands down his shoulders and then up to his face, her light touch gently guiding him, her chest lifting as she inhaled. His breath on her skin made her shiver, goose flesh dimpling the skin on her chest and arms.
"Use your tongue," she instructed. "Brush and kiss, and be aware of your nose and chin."
Her voice was steady, but her arousal was clear in the way her breath hitched. He drew the pad of his tongue up and over the nipple, putting his free hand on her waist before letting it creep up to her other breast, massaging and caressing it while his tongue danced. She began to echo his huffs and whines in her warm, rich voice, and he was forced to slow down, wanting to continue pleasuring her as long as possible. Markov had always been sensitive there, but there was something about the way he hungrily explored her that made her gasp and mewl, her hands on his hair becoming tense, tunneling through as she held him tighter.
Ah, good boy, she breathed,
her voice low as she moaned out her praise.
She could feel heat pooling between her legs, and she had no doubt that she had grown wet and swollen. That could wait, however. "Listen, boy," she told him. "When you feel yourself close to crisis, I want you to tell me." She treated him to a small, mischievous smile. "And you're to ask permission before you come, understand?"
"Yes, monsieur." Speaking had become difficult. I'm close, but I don't want this to end."
His wet tongue lapped at her nipple, his head angled so that he could keep her gaze, his eyes dark and hooded.
"I can tell there's pleasure building up in you too. I sure I can't."
She was moving with him, her back arching as he licked and suckled, sparking the heat inside her. "Are you trying to tell me you want to make me feel good?" she asked coyly. "Do you want me to use your cock for that?" Her hands trailed down his chest, feeling his heart beating hard against her palm.
"No, that is a different lesson. Now, I only want your pleasure. Later, I will teach you how to please a woman. And how I please myself."
She giggled, giving him a knowing look.
"But it seems you are distracted. Allow me."
He sucked in a breath when he felt her hand on his cock. The sounds he was making were becoming louder, unapologetic.
"Please," he whimpered. "It feels so good."
"Good," she purred. Her hand began to move, long, slow strokes, her thumb angled so that it caught the V of the underside of the head, feeling it already slick and twitching against her palm on the upstroke. Slow and steady at first, she increased her pace by degrees, all the while watching his eyes.
"Let me make you feel good. Surrender your pleasure to me. I'll take care of you."
He shut his eyes tight, desperately trying to hold back.
Oh, monsieur, I surrender. I can't help it. Please, monsieur, would you let me kiss you?"
His strained words were like lightning, and her eyes widened at the sound of them. His request was so sweet, his need so apparent, that she descended on him the second he asked her in an ardent, hungry kiss that parted his lips as she searched for his tongue. He responded to her kiss eagerly, reaching out with his tongue and dancing with hers, growls stifled as the sensations became erratic and intense. All the while, her hand continued its firm, steady motion, now in time with his heartbeat and then faster still.
"Don't forget to ask for permission, boy," she hummed into his mouth. "Your pleasure is mine, you see. I decide when you find release."
He knew he couldn't hold on for much longer.
"Please, monsieur, I'm filled to the brim and ready for you. Please, would you let me come for you? Please."
He watched him squirm in perfect agony just a few seconds more before she squeezed him hard, pulling on him in long, rapid strokes.
"Yes," she breathed, "right there in my hand, come for me."
She was intoxicated by him, her desire plain and honest and naked, her eyes burning.
"That's it. That's my boy. Monsieur."
His eyes fell closed as he threw his head back, his body arched as he came hard and plenty. The unrelenting attention made him shoot high, speckling her breasts and making a mess of her dress, covering her hands. Panting hard, his eyes fluttered open and, upon seeing her, smiled broadly, giggling a little. He brought his face close to hers, eyes bright, closing towards her in a small, grateful kiss, so sweet and almost innocent. She took his kiss, slow and languid, her thumb gently making circles over the ridge of his cock. His hot seed made her skin prickle, but she lingered where she was, her other hand cupping his face. They stayed like that for some time, until, carefully, she slid off him and went to his wash basin, washing her hands and using a face cloth to clean herself before returning to him. Without asking, she did the same for him, quick and gentle. Then she deftly slipped off her dress, managing to pull the shift she had been wearing underneath back up over her shoulders while letting the rest crumple to the floor. He was able to see her long, shapely legs beneath the hem, but it was still reasonably modest. Her own arousal was settling into a restless energy, and that was fine, for now. But she knew she couldn't hold out indefinitely. The longer she waited, the more she would want him. Smiling, elated, she said, "Come on now, dress and make yourself ready for the day. We shall do your chores together and make quicker work. And then I'll teach you how to apply some of that inhibition we've nurtured."